In Myanmar, also known as Burma, opposition leader Aung San Suu Kyi's first ever campaign speech for state television was scheduled to air on Wednesday. Suu Kyi's National League for Democracy Party is contesting 47 of the 48 parliamentary seats at stake. In her speech, which was leaked on the internet ahead of its broadcast, Suu Kyi repeated her campaign theme of undoing the repressive measures of past military regimes to make the country more democratic. The broadcast will mark the first time the Nobel Peace Laureate has been given the opportunity to use state media to promote her party's platform. We spoke to the executive director at Burma Campaign UK, Anna Roberts, about Suu Kyi's speech and the continuing reform in the country.
The speech that's being broadcast on Burma State TV today by Aung San Suu Kyi is their party political broadcast. Each of the parties that are contesting a by-election that's going to take place on the 1st of April have been given a slot on TV. Now, the by-election on 1st of April is just for 48 seats to the parliament in Burma, and that's because when the government held its sham elections in 2010, all the MPs who were elected and became government ministers had to actually resign as an MP. So these seats have been created from those MPs that are now in government and ministry posts. So, you know, obviously what we're seeing in Burma at the moment are some sort of quite dramatic changes in the context of Burma. We are seeing more opening of a political space so that Aung San Suu Kyi and her party, the National League for Democracy, are able to do some campaigning. We've seen the release of many high-profile political prisoners. And these are kind of welcome steps and signs for hope that there is change coming to Burma. But I think also we need a note of caution about what has actually happened so far and what is being promised as change. Because so far, the changes that we've seen in Burma, while welcome, are not institutional democratic reforms yet. You know, it's more about atmosphere, you know, releasing political prisoners, a little bit more political space, a slight relaxation of censorship. And while welcome, these are all sort of reversible steps. As Aung San Suu Kyi has said, you know, what's happened so far is not irreversible change towards democracy yet. So I think the international community, while obviously it's right to welcome and encourage what is happening in Burma, must remain cautious that so far we haven't seen those kind of fundamental changes that will really entrench and embed democracy in Burma. Because, of course, there are still hundreds of political prisoners in Burma's prisons. And also there is still terrible human rights abuses. The Burmese army is still launching attacks in ethnic areas, particularly in the northeast, in Kachin State. And you know, in the past year, human rights abuses have actually got worse, with very harrowing reports of an increase in the use of rape and gang rape against ethnic women. So while certainly we see some very positive signs, we also must be aware of the reality of what is happening and not get kind of carried away or be too optimistic about what is happening.
And that being the case, what are the prospects for this opening up, specifically with regard to the election? What are they hoping for? I understand it's a limited number of seats that are open. The government is still going to have control of the parliament. What's the expectation of the National League for Democracy and for the other pro-democracy groups in Burma?
Well, as you say, this is a small step. It's a by-election for just 48 seats out of 600 in parliament. The military and ex-military still dominate the parliament, so 25% of seats are automatically allocated to soldiers. And the rest of the seats in parliament are dominated by the military-backed party. So the National League for Democracy are hoping to be able to use this space in Parliament as a platform to get further reform. One of the main issues is the constitution, which was brought in after the election in 2010. And this constitution is completely undemocratic. It was written by the military dictatorship as a way to entrench and institutionalize their power. And so one of the key things that needs to be changed is to reform this constitution to make it democratic. Because at the moment, even if you know, the NLD are able to get a few seats in parliament, the actual parliamentary and political structure in Burma is still, it remains a dictatorship where power is dominated in the hands of the military, the former military, and their business cronies. So that is essential. So that's why the international community must keep up the pressure for change. It must encourage, and sanctions can be relaxed in proportion to changes that happen. But certainly there shouldn't be a whole-scale relaxation of sanctions and pressure on the military-backed government in Burma until we see genuine democratic reforms, including reform of the constitution and essentially a peace process with Burma's ethnic political leadership in terms of seeing a real political resolution to the conflict there, not just temporary ceasefires, which we're seeing at the moment.
And finally, again on that note, is there a real... is there any kind of real motivation so far for the government to finalize these first hesitant steps at reform? And related to that, is there an out for the government? I mean, is there a way for them to kind of save face and continue this process of small steps towards reform?
Well, the motivation behind these reforms is unclear at the moment. So there is the risk that the reforms that have been taking place are only being taken in order to get international pressure and economic sanctions lifted. And that's why it's important that the international community is cautious, because, of course, if they give away all the sanctions and that is the leverage for change, then that motive and incentive for further, more meaningful reforms is then gone. So that's very important. So I think the international community absolutely has to encourage these reforms. But part of that encouragement is also maintaining the sort of pressure and sanctions which are acting as a lever for reforms in the country at the moment.